Hi, my name is Tim G, and I am an anorectic sex and love addict. And I want to tell my story in three parts: experience, strength, and hope. First, my experience. I grew up in the 70s and 80s. My mom was religious and sexually anorexic, and she would scoff at literally any sex scene, no matter how mild, in a movie. If we were watching it, I would immediately get hackles, wondering what her reaction was going to be. On the other side of the spectrum, my dad was a sex addict. I discovered that he had a huge stash of porn when I was about 11 or 12, which was pretty disturbing. And it became a place that I kept going back to, you know, anytime I was left home alone. Of course, I was a latchkey kid, so that happened, and I would sneak in, to see what was in there. It wasn't mild. It was definitely, hardcore, and, yeah, it screwed up my wiring. And I learned very weird lessons about sex. You know, my mom, it's disgusting and no one should talk about it or have it. And my dad is, it's disgusting and you should keep it contained to your weird little magazines. So I learned to keep secrets and keep my feelings to myself and pretend nothing weird was ever going on when it clearly was. I realized I was gay the year that AIDS hit. And saw the presidential administration at that time, laughing at the thought of gay men dying of AIDS. And that left a big imprint. Not only was sex disgusting and should only be done in the privacy of your own bathroom with a stash of pornography or not at all, but it could kill you and, you know, at least heterosexual sex was quote unquote normal as disturbing as the material that I was looking at was. So I got a lot of mixed messages, but they may have been mixed, but they were uniformly negative. I came out when I think I was 19, maybe. Or I didn't come out, I just started having sex when I was 19. Mostly casual sex. When I moved to California, I had my first longish term relationship, which was for a year, and it was with a man who was sober. He was in AA. That was my first exposure to the 12 steps. And it was a premonition of things to come. I didn't think I needed help. I thought that, oh, you're an alcoholic. Okay, you need that. Had no idea what my part of that situation was. Intimacy was a challenge always, unless I was using some type of drug or alcohol. I became sober 4 years ago. I'm 56, so I was 52. It's become a challenge to not have that numbing agent to help. I heard about sexual anorexia a few years before I got into the program. So that was like 2015 I heard about it. 2017 I finally walked through the door. You know, it was just interesting, the whole concept of not doing something being an addiction, or at least a compulsion, compulsively not doing something. But I definitely related to all of the traits. Strength. Ironically, the less I do, the better I feel. And staying in steps 1 to 3 keeps me from having to do the others as much, 4 through 10 specifically. It gave me the framework, and it gave me the community, an honest family, which seems like an oxymoron to me because, you know, one of the things that I've learned as I've done the 12 steps and I've done therapy and other things is it really is about getting honest with yourself, being honest with others. And I realized that no one in my family was honest. You know, they were not, they all had their secrets. They all, and there were family secrets that everyone really, really protected. And as the scapegoat, the one who got away, and decided to get into therapy and look at things, I had this, what I thought was a unique perspective that I could bring, and I thought it would be welcomed. It was not. I was told point blank that they were happy, all of them, my mom, my dad, my sister, my brother, that they were very happy that I had found some help, but they were not interested. Please do not bring that here. But through that outside help, I found some deeper wounds within my childhood, and even some that were within my ancestral heritage that accounted for a lot of my behavior. And, you know, at the core of all of my dysfunction was this traumatized and abandoned child. And that really is the driving force. It's a chronic defensiveness, shrinking and hiding against something that happened to me, that really happened, and that got frozen in a fight, flight, freeze response, of which I think anorexia, for me at least, is. And there was a lot of these secrets that I had to lose my father. He died in 2004. My brother died in 2023. My sister died in 2012. They all died and were lost to their diseases before I could find out some information about my own family, one of which was that my dad abused my sister sexually, and then my sister abused me very young. And it took a lot to root that out. And, you know, apparently, according to my cousins, a lot of people knew about at least the incident between my dad and my sister. But it was one of those things that everybody just kept to themselves, kept hidden. And, you know, if we're only as sick as our secrets, our family was very sick. Very sick with secrets. Digging back further, my great-grandfather, who married my great-grandmother when she was a teenager and he was in his 30s, abused his daughter and fathered a secret child with her. Real, like, total Chinatown stuff. But once I got honest with myself and gained that strength is when I think my higher power allowed me to hear the truth. Hope. So through 12 steps and outside help, I've gained a lot of perspective and healing. This is the hardest program I've ever worked. And even when I'm not working it perfectly, I'm making progress. The pain is still there, but it's quieter, more translucent, and more manageable. I've had bad therapists, toxic friends, and plenty of trial and error, but my higher power keeps me moving in a good, orderly direction. Not always as fast as I want, but I've never regretted turning my life and my will over, not once. And that's pretty much my hope for today and every day, is as circuitous as my path has been, and as difficult as it sometimes is, and as hard as the truths are that I am given, I'm still here. I'm still going. And I'm proud of every single one of you who is in this program and who's listening to my voice right now. You can do it.